following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. If it's going to be this nice, well, why would we sit? I mean, Damon Day's co-host, let's just get right at this. Isn't any hotter than the studio.
No, this is when I found out that we'd be on location, I was like, really? It's going to be extraordinarily hot. But then again, it's hot in there on a regular basis anytime, except when it's minus 15 and I still got to wear my stocking cap over my headphones. But no, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day out here at Kearney Country Club.
Yeah, Kearney Country Club, where the Tasha Kiner Memorial Golf Tournament is going to be going on. That gets underway about noon. And one of the special things that we have with the Tasha Kiner Memorial is that the foundation, the monies go towards the Kearney Elementary and Junior High golf programs. We talked about it last year when they instituted this, the Snag Golf Program. And if you're interested in golf or kids at all, you probably have seen this in the elementary schools. You've seen it on video. You've seen it on TV, on the internet. They've got the Velcro targets and kind of some oversized clubs. Because let's face it, Damon, I mean, if when we were growing up, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you had to hope that you had an old hand-me-down from a dad or a cousin or a brother or a sister. And, I mean, they were oversized. It was very tough to get involved in the game at a young age unless your parents invested a lot in you to find you some junior clubs.
Oh, was there junior club? I mean, junior club was going to find one
you
of dad.
Sawed them off.
Dad sawed it off, and it was a blade. You know, I remember my first set of clubs was a set of McGregor blades. You know,
and here I'm not sure mine even had a name.
No, these were McGregor blades, and you know, Spalding was real big. But I remember these things were what you see a tour pro now. you know, the knives, the clang off the hand, you know. So I no, it's great for junior golf. I think that's why you're seeing golfers better at an early age now. I mean, obviously the Tiger Woods factor and some other things on that, but I also think that the equipment manufacturers realized that there was a market out there and they played to that market. And so kids were able to have more success when you're early, because let's face it, when you're out there with a cut down club that's not weighted and you know, all the those types of things, it's hard to get the ball airborne, and who wants to hit some worm burner scuds?
It's frustrating enough the way it is.
It is, without a doubt.
As a youngster trying to learn things up. So we hope you enjoy the Doug and Daddy Show regular program for you today. That's just one of our segments. We're also going to talk a little college football. Nebraska loses a guy before he even shows up on campus. So Brian Munson of Big Red Report is going to give us a couple of minutes of his time today here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll also head to Omaha in the College World Series. Doubleheader set for today. First game up, Vanderbilt in Texas. Nick Cole of the Tennessean will give us an insight on Vanderbilt and what he's expecting here. They haven't played since Monday, so that game's at 2 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock tonight, Mississippi will be taking on Virginia. And Damon, I thought that this had the potential of actually getting some runs, and I thought it was going to be an exciting game. And it was. There were a couple errors in there that made some problems, but we had another home run last night. We saw some offense, and it was a pretty exciting back-and-forth ball game.
I want to know where the guys from Mecca are, and I want to hear them come out and explain themselves, because they took one of the greatest sporting events in all of I put it up there with the World Cups, the NBA Finals. You know, I thought it was a better event than the Major League World Series, and they have absolutely ruined it. And I am one of the most diehard baseball guys that there is, and I can't take more than 4 or 5 innings of watching them play at TD Ameritrade. How it's beautiful and everything else, it is a space saucer with zero character that you, no matter how hard you nuke a ball, it's not going anywhere. And everyone asks, well, okay, so that takes away the home runs. No, it takes away angles, it takes away hits, because now you if you look at it, there's a lot of outfielders that haven't been the everyday outfielder for some of these teams that have been here. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that they're getting their burners in, they're getting their guys in, and then they just sit kind of in singles territory and they catch those line drives that usually drop, but there's no real estate now. And if you do hit one, it hangs up the way that the design is. It hangs up, and now you just run underneath it. You saw it last night. Who was it? TCU, bases loaded. That guy absolutely put that ball on the button. Right fielder just ran underneath it.
And you can't blame it completely all on the ballpark, because before they moved out of Rosenblatt, college baseball made changes for safety and to get away from the 21-14 ball games. So, I mean, the park is part of it, but that's 70% of it, 30% of it's the ball, the bats, more. What do you think?
I don't think the bats and balls. I mean, I don't think the bats have as big a deal to do with it as just a dead ballpark. When you go against, you know, there's a reason why baseball fields go from south to north, and that's how they're supposed to be. You know, that's baseball 101, and you completely change that around, and then you do things. And this is my biggest thing, because I've read up on it a lot. They did it for the Omaha skyline.
Yeah.
And what skyline is there in Omaha? There's about 5 buildings that maybe go over 10 stories. You know, I mean, this isn't like we've got the Statue of Liberty we're trying to get in there, or the Empire State. But what do we got? Woodman Tower, what is it, 20? Is that even 20 stories? So,
yes.
I mean.
Yes, it is. Easy, Indiana.
You know, it's just one of those things. And I already have a begrudge against the NCAA. So I guess I just like to kind of laugh at them now and just mock at them now because of how bad they screwed this up. But you're going to start to see the event. It's going to take a toll. You're already seeing attendance down. You're already seeing ratings. I mean, you got to be a true. And I'm a diehard guy, and I don't even pay attention a lot to the games because, you know, let's face. And how bad is the umpiring?
Oh no!
Let's save that
because Brian Munson of Big Red Report is ready to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll get back to the College World Series. Both games are here on ESPN Radio, starting with our pregame at 1:45 this afternoon. We usually jump in most Fridays, especially during the hot time of the season when it's recruiting time, to talk about what's going on with the Huskers and our TNL recruiting update, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, worldwide headquarters. headquarters in Hastings with the PPC Control 3 that allows you to manage your pivot with your computer or mobile device and a simple internet connection from anywhere. T&L Irrigation, see your local T&L dealer today. And Brian Munson joins us this morning here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day. Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing just fine. I actually got a little baseball going on this morning myself.
Are you rooting for Texas this afternoon?
That is just a dumb question right there. Y'all know the answer to that one. No way. No way.
Well, a little shocking news, I think, to everyone. Nebraska seemed to be having some things going in the right direction. The recruiting class is rated high for what that's worth. There hasn't been a lot of infighting between the bloggers and folks online. But then Stringfellow looks like a big get. You don't get Monte Harrison, which was a remote chance that you were going to get him anyway. But now all of a sudden something happens, and he's on his way to Mississippi, supposedly. Well, what do we know here?
Not a lot. I mean, we know that the transfer was pending, right? So apparently there's a window here between when he announced his intentions to go to transfer to Nebraska to when all the paperwork is going to be signed, sealed, delivered, and you are in. It's no longer a pending status. So I find this to be an incredibly deceitful way to go ahead and conduct business by Stringfellow in the first place, number one. Because everybody saw him on campus during camp. There were visual, you know, high reports about how put together the kid was, how big of a get this was in Nebraska by just looking at him physically. So clearly he was in Lincoln. He was becoming part of the system. And then he takes a visit to Ole Miss. And now basically is set to go to Oxford. I find this a very shady way to go ahead and do something as opposed to doing it the right way one time. And I think the Nebraska coaching staff is going to be fairly upset about this one, obviously. And I think that probably they're going to feel used a little bit by it.
Damon Day here. Do you put the onus on the athlete or do you put it on Mississippi? I mean, when something goes down like this, like you're talking about being shady and everything else, you know, obviously the kids on campus in Mississippi obviously took care of some of those expenses to get them down there and do some of those types of things. Is this on the student athlete or is this on the Mississippi coaching staff?
Well, I think it's got to be a little bit on both, right? I mean, obviously there's nothing at that point that I can figure out that's technically binding him to the University of Nebraska. There's not necessarily a letter of intent, so to speak, that's being signed here. I think that the paperwork was probably pending and waiting to clear, and Mississippi was obviously playing in some uncharted waters, I guess is what I would call it, when it comes to playing in a part of the pool, which is a little bit questionable. You got a guy that's obviously in process, knows where he wants to go, and you're going out there playing him like he's a free agent. I think number one, I think it does come back to the player first. You've gone ahead, you've come out, you've updated all of your social media to include that you play for the University of Nebraska, you've shown up in Lincoln, you're acting as part of the program, and now all of a sudden you're going someplace else. I think that shows, number one, very negatively on you. Number two, I think you've got to consider who you're kind of up against here. You know, you're dealing with Ole Miss. I think that there have been some questions regarding how they got guys like Treadwell a year ago when he's out there posting big money on his Twitter feed, and then of course the follow-ups by the coach to say if anybody knows about anything that's happened, you know, inappropriately taking place between us and the student athletes, please let us know. You know, that's an offense. We don't want that kind of behavior. And I think obviously the first thing that's going to happen here is they're gonna hold up the conference symbols, SEC, and then put the dollar sign through the S, and people are going to wonder if this was a big payday. So I think it kind of goes with the stereotype, but I think that my fault that I find here, the most fault I find here is with Stringfellow and just him taking that visit after deciding he wanted to go be a Cornhusker.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Big Red Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, live from the Kearney Country Club, where the annual Tasha Kider Memorial Golf Tournament is going on today. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. DeMaurier Stringfellow overnight decided that he is going to go to Mississippi, and it was just the 1st of June that he signed scholarship papers to Nebraska. He did play last year for Washington as a true freshman, had one really big game against UCLA. So, Brian, I guess the question I would think, and maybe this is the fan in me a little bit here, what does Mississippi have to offer that Nebraska doesn't? I mean, he knew he was going to get a chance to play if he was any good, you know, and you got to figure, yes, he is pretty good, right away at Nebraska, a top 25 program. I don't see anything different as far as success, except that maybe it's the SEC, a little bit bigger than the Big Ten. What could Ole Miss possibly have that would have been better than what he was getting in Lincoln?
You know, I would ask that question myself. The one thing I keep coming back to, obviously, is that that's a staff that a year ago was kind of the new and shiny toy. And mm-hmm. and they were clearly pulling some players into Oxford that, the quality has not been seen at Oxford in an incredibly long time. And, you know, we're talking about Laquan Treadwell. We're talking about the big defensive end, and his name escapes me right now. But some very quality players, a very good recruiting class, seems to be an uptick kind of program when it comes to the SEC. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the coaching staff they brought in there, high energy, you know, just being some aggressive recruiters. I think that's the big part here. Obviously, this is a guy. Stringfellow that when he does announce his intentions to the transfer from Washington, that Nebraska had to feel very good about going back to his official visit, going back to the way that Coach Fisher and the rest of the Nebraska coaching staff recruited him when he was in high school, going back to the ties that Nebraska has to his high school. I mean, this was really an incredible fit, and for him to go ahead and deny that and decide to go someplace else, to me, goes right back again to him. You know, maybe not seeing the big picture like what you're talking about, but I think obviously as well something else came into play here later on down the line, whether it was just, you know, the tactic of Ole Miss going still after the kid, or just the kid deciding that he wants to go ahead and take a look at another school after he's gone ahead and announced his intentions.
Brian, let's get on to what we do have going on. The Big Red weekends are now taken care of in Lincoln, and what did we learn from those two weekends?
I thought it was incredibly successful. I think, you know, anybody that really felt like there were going to be a lot of booms announced over Twitter, you know, by Coach Warren or Coach Fisher or Coach Papuchis, I think that that's just a failed understanding of what's going on with this class currently. I mean, you've got a class that it's, you know, 10 or 11 players. You know, you're maybe taking 5, 6, possibly 7 guys, depending on the rest of the attrition. You know, how a guy like Drake Martinez's departure, you know, plays into the class size. I mean, that remains to be seen. It's one of those things where, you know, you look at the last weekend in particular. You know, when you're bringing in the majority of the guys you bring in, I mean, you've only got guys in from the, you know, the two guys from the commitment class and Christian Gaylord and Michael Decker. And then for the most part, you're talking about, you know, entirely 2016 players. But the thing is that Nebraska is approaching this the right way. I mean, you've got a third of the class left to go. What do you begin to turn your efforts towards? You start to turn it towards those players in the radius, the guys that are in the area, guys that you have ties to, the John Raritans of the world from West Des Moines. You know, those kinds of players, and there is a very large number of players that are in the area of Nebraska that they have got to get in on early, because they're such high caliber players when you start looking at the class of 2016. I mean, there were just a number of those guys that were in Lincoln, and I feel like Nebraska did a tremendous job, number one, getting those guys to take a visit on that weekend, and number two, I really liked what Nebraska did with the weekend. I mean, every single one of them came back, and the accessibility of the players, the current players, to these recruits went a long way, because they can go ahead and see kids that are basically in their shoes a year, two, or three, you know, down the road, and they're getting the direct feedback from, you know, how things really are. What does your day consist of? What, you know, how do you get to school? What are you doing here? and you're having practice, how do you go about doing this? Those kids really appreciated that. That approach by Nebraska, I think, is refreshing because they're not letting the coaches just go out there and sell it to them, but they're letting the players go ahead and say, look, this is going to be the best situation for you, and here's why. And I really, that was great to hear from all the guys over the last 2 weekends.
Brian, one more thought here, because I think it would be interesting how it would affect scouting services and such on what Coach Pelini had to say here a couple of weeks ago about maybe just getting rid of National Letter of Intent signing day. What do you think?
I think it's a novel idea. In fact, I'm getting ready to write a magazine article on that this afternoon. I think it does kind of break down the process and how it's structured for us as the media is concerned. But that's not the bigger picture. The bigger picture is you have to give the power back to the players. Right now we have, you know, there's programs out there that are offering 300 some odd players a year. And we know that they're not all committable offers. And there are offers that are going out to, you know, ninth graders going into 10th grade. I mean, where do you draw the line? Well, how you draw the line is you start making each one of those situations there where when a player gets an offer as a tangible deal that you can go ahead and take advantage of whatever opportunity you want to take advantage of whenever it's given to you. I mean, it's realistic, I guess, is how the best word that comes to mind when it comes to describing Bo's philosophy and idea here, because that's the real world. When you get an opportunity, you snatch it up if you want it. And I don't see the necessity to go through the rest of those months when a kid knows where he wants to go, you know, having all the distractions of recruiting, you know, taking place. I really did think it was a great idea by Bo. I'm not sure how much real consideration it's going to get before just like an early signing day is introduced, but it's definitely something to think about.
Well, Brian, we'll let you get back to your summer day down there on the plains of Texas, because I know you're going to be putting on your burnt orange this afternoon no matter what you tell us.
Oh, I guarantee I'm not. In fact, I'm sitting out here in the parking lot. My son is going through an All-American baseball tryout right now for USSSA. So
cool.
We got our own baseball thing going on this morning, and then we're going to head back home and work out again.
All right, buddy. Well, we appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll catch up again soon. Enjoy your summer.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Scout.com with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda and Damon Day live from the Kearney Country Club, where at noon they'll be teeing off for the Tasha Kider Memorial Golf Tournament. It benefits a snag golf program for Kearney youth in their elementary and junior high programs. What do you think about this letter of intent signing day? Everybody supposedly has one, but football is the only one that seems to make a real big deal out of it, unless you're a basketball school and you make a big deal out of it for basketball signing day.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different areas that you could kind of – different viewpoints you can kind of get from it. I mean, obviously, Bo Pelini wants it to be done sooner so that this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So what he's going through right now doesn't happen. I don't know enough about the football side of it to say. I can only say from the baseball standpoint is, you know, you get a commit in February, and for us, you know, we don't believe it until I see that young man like sporting a Loper shirt on campus doing his thing, because even if you sign a national letter of intent to come to the University of Nebraska at Kearney, say, you can still go to junior college, which happens a lot more in baseball than obviously it does in football. But, you know, with the pressure and the coverage of everything at the Division I level, I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, I think for 85% of it, it's working just fine. And the 15% is the vocal, you know, side of things where you hear about stories like this, of this guy defecting or this guy defecting. The thing that I go back to is it's just become such a high pressure. There's so much money involved in it and all those different types of things. It doesn't stop a Mississippi from knowing that a guy's on campus. I mean, and you wait to see how this all pans out, because I'll be interested to see, did this guy already get some things from Nebraska? Does he have an apartment? Was Nebraska paying for those things? Because, you know, now is he going to have to pay back Nebraska? Those are all those types of things that are just very, very interesting when it comes to this, especially when it gets into the transfer rules, because the transfer rules are such a gray area. You know, you're not supposed to sign another national letter of intent. You can sign a financial aid agreement, but you can't sign another NLI. And so with what's going on in the Ed O'Bannon case and what's going on at the NCAA right now, this is all going to change. You know, we're going to see a whole new level of every – you know, they're going to rewrite this rule book here sooner rather than later. And it won't affect the University of Nebraska-Kearney. It won't affect Damon Day or Daryl Morris or Tom Kropp or Coach Lofton. But it's going to be big for that new five, the Super Five or the Fab Five conferences. They're going to do their own thing. And if they don't want National Signing Day, then there's not – I mean, you got to think about, what is it? There's 60 schools. If 31 of them don't want a letter of intent, the way this sounds like it's going is that then there's not going to be a letter of intent. So you got to go get 30 – Bo's got to go get 30 of his peers and get it done. And because they're going to do things the way that they want to do. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't agree with how it's going to be. I think they get paid enough. Because I still think at the end of the day, the majority of the schools, even in the Big Five, they're not making money. Their football programs aren't making money.
Well, Bo ought to already have 5 or 6 yes votes just from the Youngstown coaches that are in the BCS conferences right now. Doug and Danny Show, Doug Duda, Damon Day. That is our TNL recruiting update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, the TNL difference. See it for yourself at your local TNL dealer or go online to TLIRR.com. We are at the Kearney Country Club, part of the Tasha Kiner Memorial Golf Tournament that tees off today at 12 noon, benefiting the Snag Golf Program for the elementary and junior high programs. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Also, we're going to catch up with Nick Cole of the Tennessean, talk a little Vanderbilt baseball. He's at the College World Series in Omaha. That's the first game of today's doubleheader. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods. Save! Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
You'll have fun.
Make it a weekend of great food and action entertainment at Fauner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Bet on the best thoroughbred racing from 21 tracks. And you can play Keno with high-stakes progressive games available. Non-stop action starts at 11:25, continuing to Twilight Racing and the Prime Rib Special at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's your Weather Eye forecast powered by WeatherOlogy.com. Sunshine today with areas of showers and storms late this afternoon. Highs top out near 89 degrees. Wind south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Right now it's 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, once again has us on the road today. We were at eight-man All-Star Camp yesterday. I want to thank Isaac Frex, the coaches, the players, and everybody that helped get that going. And, you know, should have mentioned it yesterday, but Rod Brummels is the president of the Nebraska Eight-Man Association, and he had to go home being from the Coleridge area because of those tornadoes. And sounds like folks are okay, but just an unfortunate situation here, what we've had in Pilger and up there around the Coleridge area. But I guess it brings Brett Michaels a poison to town.
It's, man, that's scary stuff.
Man,
that's scary stuff. Hearts and prayers go out to them.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday, we asked you what you thought the United States men's soccer team chances were against Portugal on Sunday. You'll hear it at 5 right here on ESPN Radio. And, well,
and I would just like the record to state that I am rooting for America in the World Cup. There's been some social media comments as to far as what my allegiance would be. I don't. I'm not a soccer connoisseur.
Fake Doug Duda have anything to say about it?
Yes, fake Doug Duda called me out as a communist, and
again, I'm not on Twitter, so you can't even blame me or look at me, even though you are.
You know, old Mother Russia is not.
Did you see what happened to their goalie?
No,
it was on not top 10 this morning. One, you know, just right up around the face, put the two hands up to save the goal, went right through his hands and into the goal. Only on the world's largest stage.
Is it? I mean, I guess as in America, it's a passing thing. You got ESPN kind of pumping it a little bit, obviously, because they're watching it and whatnot. I guess I don't see the soccer bug growing.
It's okay, root for it, but people, do you really want it to overtake football? Do you really want this coverage all the time? I'm just throwing it out there. So anyway, 62% said the United States will lose on Sunday. 25% went with the draw. Only 12% picked the United States to win. And if they do win, then it doesn't matter what happens against Germany. Germany and Ghana play today. And that might be closer than the experts think. And you can vote on our poll question that has to do with your Kansas City Royals over the weekend. ESPNSuperstation.com. The Royals had a 10-game winning streak snapped yesterday and have the lead in the American League Central by a half game. I ask you, Damon Day, how will the Royals finish the season? 500 or worse? They have a winning record but are left out of the playoffs. They get the wild card or they win the American League Central.
Winning record out of the playoffs.
I am going to go playoffs via the wild card because I think it's going to be too tough for them to beat Detroit, even though they took three or four of them this week. Verlander's going to find what he's missing, and Nathan's going to find what he's missing. And if they're struggling and they're only a half game out, then that tells you something.
Right, they just came back to the field.
Yeah.
Like they just came. They have the talent and the ability. And when you get Shazer and Verlander in the dog days of summer, they're going to get some things straightened out. They're both proven winners, and they're going to get some things straightened out. And Joe Nathan, obviously, you know, hasn't had a great start to his Tiger career, but, you know, I really like what the Royals have done. I will preface my statement with, what will the Royals do to improve? Do they go get Schmarzda? Do they go try to get Giancarlo Stanton? Do they try to pull off a move beyond moves and put a little risk out there? Because if you're following the Schmarzda sweepstakes, he ain't doing a sign and trade. He's one of the top starting pitchers. He's going to go out into the open market. So do the Royals give away a little bit right now to make this run? And that's the question that I'll be interested to see with the Royals? Do they make a move? Do they make a move to improve the team?
Well, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. If you haven't noticed, you're probably keeping pretty busy this summer, and that means you don't have a whole lot of time to eat. You're always on the run. You're always bopping around from here to there. And yesterday, I have to tell you, when I left eight-man camp, I wanted to drive by and see the finishing touches on Duncan Field, so I did that. And, of course, right across the street from Duncan Field, a parking lot full of happy people at Big Daly's Deli, home of a bazillion sandwiches. Get it the way you want it. Get the bread, get the wrap, get the meat, the cheese, the seafood, whatever your sandwich might be. The number 27 is the BLT. Many others to choose from, and you can get it toasted. You can get it cool, warm or cool. Get you your toppings. Get your combo meal and be on your way. Pack a cooler full if you're heading to the ballpark, heading to the golf course, or hitting the road for a little vacation over the weekend. Big Daly's Deli on top of the hill in Kearney and right across the street from Duncan Field there in Hastings. And soon they have the new one really remodeled and renovated downtown, Damon.
What did you think of Duncan Field?
I didn't walk in. I just drove around it, to be honest. But it's kind of cool how you incorporate the old into the new and still make it look pretty kind of old.
Right.
The facade looked pretty cool. Obviously, the press box is improved. A lot of the amenities that you didn't have to worry about when that field was built decades ago have been improved. But again, Damon, as you know, by the dugout and once you get on the field, still the same distance to the wall and still the same width of a baseball field.
I was stunned to hear that there was no improvements to the actual playing surface. It's a natural surface that I don't think has been updated in a long time. And I find that, you know, if you're going to spend that much money on the surroundings, that you wouldn't.
Maybe that's phase three.
You know, maybe it is. I don't know. I have not been up there yet. I've heard, you know, different reports on it. So I'm very interested to see how it all turned out and what a historical stadium, and we feel we have a very historical stadium too, and right here in the heartland. And so I'll be interested to see how it all looks, and like you said, tied together.
Big Daly's Deli, two locations in Hastings, and of course, top of the hill here in Kearney. Doubleheader today in Omaha, right here on ESPN Radio, starts at 2:00 with Vanderbilt taking on Texas. Then tonight, Virginia will take on Ole Miss, and we are pleased to talk a little Vanderbilt baseball from the Tennessean. Nick Cole joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nick, it's great to be winning. Are you ready to go back home yet?
You know, I'm having a great time. I'm just ready to see baseball again for Vanderbilt. Anyway, it's been a long wait since Monday night.
Yeah, we talked about that with a variety of teams earlier in the week. How has Vanderbilt handled it? It'll be the longest stretch at any point in the College World Series without playing. And, in fact, if they win today, then they're off another couple of days until the championship Monday. How's the team handling it, and what are they doing to kind of pass the time?
Yeah, well, you know, Tuesday they sort of took that as a day off. They did some light weight lifting, and then they sort of dispersed to do their own thing. Some of them went to the zoo. Some of them went to the ballpark. Some of them laid around the hotel room. So, you know, it was just a variety of whatever they wanted to do then. And then Tim Corbin sort of pulled everything back together there for Wednesday and Thursday and had more structured, organized practices for 2-3 hours a day there and more of a, you know, prepping for Friday mentality. And it was a long 3 days. And I know that Tim Corbin has been concerned with keeping the focus of the kids over those 3 days. But I think that it seemed like everybody did a pretty good job there of keeping everybody focused on the goal of what they need to do on Friday.
Nick, fair or not, Vanderbilt has been assessed, and we've talked about it on the show here a little bit. They've had a lot of success lately, but maybe have not reached their full potential. Has that been chatted about by this team, that they just haven't had a deep run in the postseason?
This team is so young. They're Vanderbilt team, but they're a lot different than last year's team. If you're referring to that team that maybe didn't reach its full potential, I think you're right. That was a team that probably should have been in Omaha last year, probably one of the nation's top five teams. It just ran into a Louisville team in the Super Regional and couldn't get it done. But, you know, this year's team, it came in with not quite as much expectation on their shoulder. I mean, quite frankly, I think, you don't ever really call a Vanderbilt team under Tim Corbin with the recruiting classes they have necessarily rebuilding years, but he's only got two juniors in the starting lineup, and everybody else is freshman and sophomore. So they come in with, you know, maybe not the weight of those expectations, and maybe that's why they've done so well.
We're talking with Nick Cole of the Tennessean here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Nick, they've actually scored some runs, the Commodores have here in the postseason. We finally saw some runs scored again last night in the Ole Miss-TCU game. But how much is that playing into the success that Vanderbilt has, that they just don't have to rely on one-run games and their pitching staff getting pressured?
Oh, it's huge. And you know, that was something that they struggled with through a good portion of the conference season, was scoring runs. You know, they've been pitching the ball well all year. And so to see them, you know, coming into this postseason, I think they're averaging a little bit over 7 runs a game in the postseason, and or in NCAA tournament, rather. And, you know, if they're going to hit the ball like that, this team is going to be really hard to stop, because they're just completely loaded on the pitching staff. And they're not going to give up over 5 runs very often. So they keep averaging 7. That's a good recipe for them.
And with that being said, Tyler Ferguson is going to get the start. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he was pretty much their Sunday starter for most of the year. Rolling into the postseason, though, they elected to go with the midweek starter, Walker Buehler, who leads the team with 12 wins, sort of is the third guy behind Tyler Beattie and Carson Falmer. So Tyler Ferguson hasn't had a start since, I think, May 17th against South Carolina, which is a regular season game. So he's a little bit over a month since he's made a start. Now, he has made an appearance. He pitched 2 2/3 in the Super Regional and collected a win against Samford. So it hasn't been quite that long since he pitched for an extended time, but this will be the first time he gets a start in quite a while. He's a guy, and much like a lot of the other guys on their staff, he throws in the mid-90s, has good off-speed stuff, will probably be a guy we talk about as a top 2-round pick next year, provided that he stays healthy and on track. So it's just another one of their guys that they can run out there, and if they can somehow win with him today, then that really sets them up well for the best of 3 series, being able to bring Carson Fulmer back in that first game.
And Fulmer's just a man. He's just done it for Vanderbilt all year long.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, he started the season, he wasn't even in the rotation. He started the season as their closer, which may actually end up serving him well, has ended up serving him well as he's coming on the stretch here. He doesn't have quite the innings that you see a lot of the other aces on the other teams have logged. He's a little behind that stretch because he was in the bullpen, so maybe a little bit of a fresher arm even.
We're talking with Nick Cole, the Tennessean, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Unique in this format now, where you can definitely, and Ole Miss, you know, they could play Virginia 3 times here in the College World Series. Vanderbilt, I think, is fortunate that they don't have to play the same team again and again and again. They beat Louisville, then they got to play UC Irvine, and now they play the other team in the bracket in Texas. Refreshing, does this coaching staff like that, or is it just harder preparing for a new team every time out?
Yeah, it's hard to get Tim Corbin to admit to anything bothering him. I don't think he likes to control the controllables. You know, if I'm not to give coach speak on that, but he's just happy to be in the situation he's in. I don't think that the opponent means all that much to him, other than he's not, like you said, he's not familiar with Texas. They haven't played them in a decade, so. You know, talking to him about what he saw out of Texas, you know, he's obviously watched them these first few games, and he's just raved about how athletic they were, and expected them to challenge Vanderbilt with you know, their bunt game and what you've come to expect to see from Texas in these first 3 games. You know, I don't think that Vanderbilt is still prepared for that. They fielded the ball on the infield very well this postseason. I think that's shown against UC Irvine and teams like that. They like to put pressure by putting the ball on the ground. They don't flinch at that.
Nick, we've talked about what Vanderbilt has done well here in Omaha. What's still their Achilles heel? What's the one thing that you wouldn't be surprised if it happened would keep them out of the finals next week?
Well, I mean, they've been very fortunate over the past couple of weeks. I think it probably lends to those numbers of the seven runs a game. They have driven in an inordinate amount of two out RBI, And so that's one of those things, if you look at it, there's two schools of thought. Is it clutch hitting? If you think that they're just good at clutch hitting, then maybe that continues. But then you look at it and say, well, maybe they're getting a little bit fortunate, and you're not always going to get those balls to fall with two outs. And that's sort of what they saw at times earlier in the year. They were leaving guys on base left and right. So I think what would end up being their downfall, if there was going to be one, was, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that hit a lot of home runs and have a lot of extra base hits at times. So if they start getting guys on and aren't able to get those two out hits, you know, they may regress back to scoring two or three runs a game.
Last minute here with Nick Cole, the Tennessean, on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Nick, how will the draft affect Vanderbilt's team next year? Who's going? Who's coming? What's your feeling on that?
Well, this past year, the draft, they obviously Tyler Beattie was a first-round pick. He'll be gone. And really beyond him, Adam Ravenel was a fourth-round pick, the relief pitcher for them, picked up the save against Louisville in the opener. I think he'll probably be gone as well. Vince Condi, a ninth-round pick to the Yankees. He's probably on the fence, but I would imagine he probably goes as well. That's really all that they lose. So they'll come back next year with Carson Fulmer, Tyler Ferguson, and Walker Buehler as their three-man rotation. All three of them are potential first-round picks at this point. So it's crazy to say, because they've had some good ones come through over the past decade with David Price, Mike Minor, Sonny Gray, so on and so forth. That group might be the most talented group to be there all at once. It's an embarrassment of riches on their pitching staff that they'll be bringing back.
And Ole Miss, they look good, just representing the conference here. What would it mean if both Vanderbilt and Ole Miss could be playing next week?
Well, that would be something for the SEC for sure. You know, Vanderbilt didn't see much of Ole Miss this year. They didn't play them in the regular season at all, and they did meet them once in the SEC tournament. Neither team did much to write home about in that tournament, which at the end of the day may be why they're here. Whereas teams like LSU and Florida went to the max all the way down to that last day and didn't fare so well in their regional appearances. So I think it would be something, you know, SEC fans take a lot of pride in their conference, and I think that if it was SEC versus SEC, you'd hear plenty of people talking about that in the Southeast for sure.
And finally, Nick, non necessarily baseball related, but I mean, playing in Nashville and having a college in Nashville obviously is unique. There are just a few cities across the country where you've got a few extra things to do. What's the college scene compared to the country music, all that scene in Nashville?
You know, it's a little bit segmented. You know, the country music scene is sort of located on Broadway and downtown, and Vanderbilt is downtown technically, but it's a little bit separated over in its own little corner. But it's a unique experience there. It's definitely unlike anything else in the SEC. They're the only private school. It's quite a bit smaller than the other schools in the conference. There's only 6,000 undergraduates, whereas most of the other schools that are over 20 or right around it. So it's a unique experience. The teams. States like Hawkins Field, I mean, it's just squeezed into a city block. It's very compact, and it's got the football stadium literally hanging over by foul territory, and they've got a big green wall in left field protecting the basketball stadium because it's right there. So it's all, you know, just jam-packed into this one city block, all their athletics. It's a unique thing, and if you've never been to Nashville to see some games, I recommend checking it out because it's a great weekend when you can combine the entertainment aspect downtown and the game that you're wanting to see at Vanderbilt's campus. It's all right there.
And, Nick, finally, last Friday we chatted with former Husker Jerry Godowski, who's now assistant on the new Vanderbilt football staff out there. What's the expectations for the Commodore football team with the new coaching changes?
Well, they're all over the board. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. Obviously, James Franklin took the program to heights that it's really never been to. Back-to-back 9-win seasons for a program that had, you know, two bowl appearances in its history before he got there. With Derek Mason coming in, it's a change in philosophy. And you know, Franklin was an offensive-minded guy. Derek Mason is, you know, obviously Stanford's defensive coordinator, bringing in a little bit different mentality and a different personality. He's way more laid back. And so the expectations this year, I mean, they lose a lot of players from last year's team. Jordan Matthews, a second-round pick of the Eagles, being probably one that people around here have heard about. But their schedule lends to the possibility of going to a fourth straight bowl game. You know, they have a very manageable non-conference schedule. They probably should win all four of those games. And so then it just gets into, okay, well, what do you think that they can do against the SEC again this year? You know, they were 5-3 and 4-4 in the last 2 years. If they can just get to 2-6, they're bowl eligible again if they win those non-conference games. So I'd say the expectations probably around 6-7 wins with the possibility if Derek Mason's staff comes in and gets things rolling, maybe in another 8 or 9 win season.
You can follow Nick Cole on Twitter at NCole6, and we appreciate, Nick, you giving us some time here from the Tennessean, and we'll see if we can get the Commodores into the championship next week. Looking forward to the game today. Thanks for the time.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it.
Nick Cole of the Tennessean with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we get ready for more college baseball. Love the doubleheader. 1:45 pregame, first pitch about 2:05 for Vanderbilt, Texas. Then tonight it's Virginia taking on Ole Miss at 7 o'clock. We're live at the Kearney Country Club as part of the Tasha Kiner Memorial Golf Tournament. We'll be talking with professional Matt Shaner here at KCC about the snag program and what the tournament benefits. But if you want to put a little benefit in your belly and take care of your grill or just some snacking, Troutman's Quality Meats is the place to be. Summer's here, and that means barbecue and camping season. Troutman's has many types of sausage for your grills or campfires, including garlic sausage, the hot brats, Polish sausage, and the ever-so-yummy chili cheese dogs. Grab some snack sticks for your next golf or fishing outing, and don't forget Troutman's Steaks, certified Angus beef, aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Troutman's Quality Meats, it's a grill's best friend, East Highway 30 in Kearney. So good. We will be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Kearney Country Club right after this.
For lunch or dinner, it's Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food, Bandits, where you can enjoy Saks' Pizza, the area's favorite. Bandits' famous wings, Sparky, Buffalo, Sweet Teriyaki, Garlic Parmesan, and Spicy Breaded. There's Taco Chef and chicken salads, meatball subs, and an appetizer menu, which includes Tim's delicious taco meat and melted cheese nachos, toasted to perfection. Weekday happy hours from 4 to 6, and all day Sunday with ice-cold 250 huge mugs and $2 domestic pints and bottles. Grand Island's best sports bar with really great food. Head to Bandits, 13th and 281. Grand Island. Doug Duda here for Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. Name two things you hate worse than unreliable internet service. I can't even think of one. Thank goodness we have Prairie iNet. I love these guys. They're local, so if there's ever an issue, you can talk to real people in our country. I called Prairie iNet to handle my internet service because the service is notoriously reliable, they're local, and best of all, Prairie iNet doesn't make you sign a contract ever. What does that say about Prairie iNet? That they don't force you into a contract? You know that they'll work to earn your business every month. You'll love your service with Prairie iNet Wireless Internet. No risk, no contract, and the switch was so easy. One call and their professional team had me surfing in no time. Plus, if you mention my name, you'll get your first month free and a 6-month membership to Netflix. What are you waiting for? Call Prairie iNet, your internet provider. 308-535-1858. That's 535-1858.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a summer checkup. Summer driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the hot summer driving conditions. Tice Auto Care can check your hoses, brakes, fluids, and air conditioning so you're prepared for your vacation or just everyday driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your summer vehicle checkup. They're ASC certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Come out to the K this weekend when the Royals battle the Mariners. Friday at 7:10 is Buck Night with dollar hot dogs, peanuts, and small Pepsi products. Stay in your seats after the game for fireworks presented by Hy-Vee and Pepsi. Saturday's first pitch is at 1:10, and it's Wichita State Day. Sunday at 1:10 is Family Fun Day and Bark at the Park. Come early for live performances by School of Rock, plus special treats for dogs and their owners. Tickets still available at Royals.com or Hy-Vee.
Be Royal, Kansas City. Be Royal.
Doug and Daddy's show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth at the Kearney Country Club today, where the head man, Matt Shaner, is about ready to turn him loose for the Tasha Kiner Memorial Golf Tournament. Doug Duda, Damon Day, and Damon has just been salivating, wondering if he could go hit a couple of guest shots on 17, the Island Green. What do you think?
No, I don't think that I don't think that would do be any good.
Speaking of Midway, we got Ryan out here from Midway. He's going to go lose some golf balls today. And of course, just one of the many great things that Midway helps sponsor is the youth golf program, not just today's tournament, but youth program throughout the year. So always giving back to the community and taking care of you, their loyal customer. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. You can go online to see their inventory as well at thinkmidway.com. But Matt Shaner does join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning slash afternoon, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's it going?
It's going good. Right? You know what? Ryan's one of my best customers for golf balls in the pro shop, too.
And that's because of all the credit he gets from the tournament.
That's right. He plays in everything out here.
There you go. Well, this is a, again, we've got a couple of events, and we'll talk about the second one, which is non-golf related, in a moment here for the Cole Roseberry Foundation tomorrow. But a couple of young kids that were taken way too early, and now we're seeing the organizations do some great things to help benefit kids in the Kearney area. And we've talked about this last year with Snag Golf, but Dave and Diane Kiter have really stepped up to the plate here and are helping the youth. And tell us first about the golf tournament today.
Yeah, the golf tournament, you know, last year when Dave and Diane came to me, their biggest concern was, okay, how do we get more girls playing golf? And my concern was, okay, well, let's not just the girls, but let's get more kids involved in playing golf, because we're trying to grow the game. As me as a PGA professional, that's my job, is to grow the game of golf. And it worked out perfectly, because then we did some investigating, and I knew that our section was doing some the Snag Golf in the Omaha Public Schools and the Lincoln Public Schools. And I told Dave and Diane, I said, let's try it here. Let's do some research and bring it in, see what we can do. And it came in really well. The administrators of the school system thought it was a great idea. So we developed this tournament and put this tournament on last year. We were able to raise $15,000, and we were able to purchase 5 kits to go put into the elementary school systems, and with the PE teachers sharing them back and forth between schools. This year, our goal is to actually complete all the elementary schools, get them each a kit so that there's one on site all the time, so the PE teachers don't have to try and lug them back and forth. This past spring, I was actually involved in a couple different elementary schools, helping out the instructors for the day with the classes. And I tell you, there's nothing more gratifying than seeing a little kid or a kid smile after they did something right and hit a tennis ball. And I don't know what was more fun, them hitting the balls or them going to chase it. So it's a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Matt, I'll tell you what a great job, because if I remember right, you told me, if all things go really well, you thought 3 to 5 years you could have it instituted in Kearney and then be looking on. Well, you're going to get it done in 2. Tell the folks what the Snag program is. I've done my best, and we've seen a little video on it before, but go to the root of this.
The Snag program is stands for Starting New at Golf, and it's a program that's developed by a professor at Northwestern University up in Chicago, where they utilize colors, commands with the kids. There's a full curriculum with it. They understand that the putting aspect of the game, the chipping aspect, the pitching and the full swing. It teaches integrity. It teaches honesty. So it touches all aspects of what golf is really about. And it's not shoving the rules of golf down their throat. It's hey, we want to get you out and start playing the game and teaching you properly using colors and numbers to help get them involved. That'd be right up your alley, Damon.
What grade? What age? What grade? What? You know, for people that are listening who have young kids, what age do you start putting clubs in their hand, and what age do you start this program with them?
Sure, the snag program. We actually started. We had kindergartners, kindergarten through fifth grade. And one of the things our goals is to actually get maybe a kit into the junior high system, so those kids that were fifth graders can still be involved and do this stuff as they progress into junior high and sixth grade. And then eventually, one of our goals in this with the foundation is to have a application for those kids that are seventh, eighth, and even going into high school that maybe want to try and go play golf. They can actually fill out the application, and the foundation will purchase a set of golf clubs for them so they can continue on with their career, maybe pursue golf on the high school level or even in the college level.
Well, I think it's a little early to tell how this is affecting the young kids, but you said it was all fun, and they seem to be grasping it really cool.
You're darn right. They smile. They're having fun. And we did something down at Yanny Park, Dave James from Metal Arc and I and Scott Bruja at Heritage Days, where we set up a snag driving range. And we had all kinds. We probably had 100 to 150 kids come through there, and we were teaching them and the snag aspect. So,
anything else that folks need to know about the program and the golf tournament here today?
The golf tournament, it's open to the public. We've got auction items out here. We've got an impossible putt for the people, if they want to try, it's a $200 gift certificate.
Times a day.
You're more than welcome to come up and bid on any of these items. If you'd like to donate to the Tasha Kider Foundation, please come up and see Diane. She's here at the table, or see myself, and we can get you steered in the right direction. We have had a couple of anonymous donations that have come in over the last couple of days, and we appreciate that because, like I said, all the money goes to help fund new kits for these elementary schools so we can start teaching golf in the schools.
Well, that's outstanding. Matt Shaner, Kearney Country Club, I know you got to get them out on the course, so great job with what you're doing, the PGA of America. And you don't have to be a golfer to appreciate and help kids, so come on out, even if you're not a standout golfer, come out to the Kearney Country Club.
Darn right, and we can actually help those people that might need some help. So anyway, thanks a lot.
Once again, looking right at me when he said that, Damon. Right at me. He looked right at me in a different sort of way as during the interview.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. I mean, I try to, you know, in dealing with youth and in dealing with, you know, we do the Kearney Little League program and we do those types of things, and it's funny how when you do this as a living and you're around it and you're coaching and you're doing those types of things, the only thing that matters at this age group is, are they having fun and do they want to do it again? You know, I deal sometimes with the overzealous parent who's asking, you know, hey, what do I need to do for this? And it's like, does he wake up every morning wanting to do it? Great. And when he doesn't want to do it, then find something else for him to do. Because at this age group and in their bodies and everything that's going to change, you know, what they're doing now at 9 is not going to lead to automatic success as you go down the road. So you better, you know, they need to learn the lessons of life through sport. And I think sometimes we've gotten away from that thing. So it's great to see a youth program that's really helping a very complicated game to play make it simple to at least learn the basics to go out and enjoy a round of golf in your leisure.
And I always like looking in the garage of parents with the young kids. There's a junior golf set. There's a tennis racket. There's a baseball. There's a softball. There's maybe a football. There's a bat. So as you said, they may change their focus quite often, but that way it gives them a chance to get involved and pick out what they like. We mentioned at the start of the chat there with Matt that there's a couple of events that are going on with the youth and their foundations tomorrow. The Cole Roseberry Memorial Fund will be out at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Tuscan Road Band will be playing from 7:30 to 12:30. Bring the family out. Free burgers, hot dogs, and chips from 6 to 7:30. The band playing from 7:30 till around midnight. Free well donations will be taken, and it all goes to the Cole Roseberry Fund to be used for home necessities for Kearney school students. As we all know, some folks just aren't as fortunate as others, and this helps take care of kids in the community. So if you can do that for the Cole Roseberry Memorial Fund, get out there and get it done tomorrow. Free food, burgers, hot dogs, and chips from 6 until 7:30. We're going to take a break and be back and wrap things up on this Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show in a moment.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
If you're looking for 2 days of great fun and excitement, then Gibbon is the place for you July 4th and 5th. Celebrating the 4th of July with Rip Roaring Action in Gibbon, starting at 1 p.m. at the Aurora Co-op facility, presenting Thunder in the Dirt. Featuring Limited Pro Stock, Limited Light Pro Stock, Super Farm, Light Super Stock, and Unlimited Super Stock Tractors. Then the Nebraska Truck and Tractor Pullers Association will have the Limited Pro Stock, Super Stock, and Pro Stock Tractors, as well as two- and four-wheel drive pickups. Admission is $10 for 8 and under. 7 and under are free. Then on July 5th, featuring the Custer County Mud Draggers with stock, hobby, modified, super stock, and open pickups, along with a Power Pup pickup class as well. Admission to that, only $10 for 8 years and over. July 4th and July 5th at the Aurora Co-op on the west edge of Gibbon. See you there. And remember, there will be concessions, but you're free to bring your lawn chairs and your coolers.
Do you have enough horsepower for road rage? The Hastings Family YMCA, Motorsport Park Hastings, and Bosselman's is sponsoring Road Rage 2014. Road Rage is an 8-hour cycling race on Sunday, June 29th at 8 a.m. at Motorsport Park Hastings. Party in your pit with music, food, and fun. Compete as a solo rider or in a team of 2 to 6 of your best friends, co-workers, or the rowdiest group of people you can find. Sign up for Road Rage by contacting Ann at the Hastings Family YMCA or log on to hastingsymca.net.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I've never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel,
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Damon Day with you here at the Kearney Country Club. The Tasha Kider Memorial Golf Tournament is just about ready to tee off. And then next Friday, the Kearney Catholic High School Foundation 4-person golf scramble is going to tee off. Registration at 11 and get after it at 12 noon. This used to be held in September, so if you played in it in the past, don't forget that they have moved it up and get registered. You can contact the Kearney Catholic Foundation or the gang here at the Kearney Country Club to come out next Friday. And looking forward to having some fun there. Okay, Damon, I had to cut you off earlier in the show when we were talking about the College World Series. And Tom in Kearney says, what about the coaches who bunt, even though every statistical analysis proves it's ineffective and counterproductive?
It's not. And that statistical analysis at the major league level where rates per home run and when you start to talk about skill level and you talk about a specific matchup, that's not the case. If you look at it, if someone were to sit down and look at the mathematics over all of college baseball, the success rate for bunting is leads to runs. That's why guys are doing it. And you know what? This style of play has been around for a long time. It's called it's a West Coast style of play by a lot of guys who have won a lot of college baseball games. And so, you know, it's not – the statistics are at the major league level. The sacrifice bunt is not as prevalent because you don't have pitchers who make as many mistakes as you do at the college level. And so, you know, it is a different style of play. But at the end of the day, like I've tried to – talk to people who have asked, you know, what do you think about the style of play? I'm like, these guys know their teams. They're great coaches. They know their teams. They know what they need to do to be successful. And they don't always, I mean, they know when to try it and not try it and do those type of things. But when runs are so crucial in an environment like that, you got to put your best opportunity to where a single does drive in a run. And you see it happening more and more often. And I think the you talked about the bats and the stadiums and all those different things. But let's also tip our caps to the pitchers. The pitchers are better. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing the best staffs in the entire country. now. And I think that that's something that you're also taking away from. And let's be honest, you know, no one wants to admit it, but we drug testing has come a long way since the heyday of the Gorilla Ball era and things like that. And supplement uses has been brought down to a more suitable level. And so there's so many different reasons on why we're seeing a lack of offense right now, but there's also a lack of offense right now at the major league level. We have, what, 8 major league teams hitting below 240 for the first time since the dead ball era. So I don't think it's a bunt thing. I think that there's just a lot of different things that are going on that are causing this to happen.
Doug and Daddy Show wrapping things up here on this Friday. A couple of things. If you haven't seen, go out and check out that Doug McDermott peanut M&M ad. It's pretty cool. He's shooting horse against 100 different people. So you can find that on YouTube, social media outlet. So check that out. Again, we are busy this weekend. Of course, soccer, we have found out today, Damon Day is rooting for the United States and is trying to lose his communist badge. But we'll see. College World Series this afternoon gets underway at 2 o'clock. The Nebraska Danger advance to the United Bowl for the second consecutive year. We'll talk with Coach Mike Davis on the Doug and Daddy Show next week. They beat the Colorado Ice 45-15. They beat them in this part of the playoffs last year in Colorado, 55-50, and then they lost to them twice during the regular season. Big win there. The other side in the United Conference, undefeated defending champ Sioux Falls, will host Cedar Rapids tomorrow, and the Danger will go to the winner of that game next Saturday. The All IFL Danger members on the first team are linemen Darius Savage and Claude Roten, and defensive back Jamar Love. On the second team, Kane Farquharson and Pig Brown, wide receiver, and of course linebacker. Also another football league, apparently has nothing to do with the NFL. It's called the Fall Experimental Football League. They're going to play like 6 games, and they've chosen Omaha as one of their initial 6 franchises. They'll play 3 games at TD Ameritrade. The Shrine Bowl was a couple of weeks ago, so it's the 8-man All-Star game tomorrow in Hastings. 1:15 pregame, 1:35 kickoff, and that will be on Classic Hits 98.9. The Nebraska High School Rodeo Finals continuing in Hastings at the Adams County Fairground. 2 more goes tonight at the 6, and then the short go tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And Alex Shockey of Omaha, his brother Carson, won it last year. Yesterday, he won the Nebraska Junior Match Play at Heritage Hills in McCook. The 36-hole final went pretty deep. He beat Noah Hoffman of McCook by a 3-2 score. Wimbledon gets underway next week. The NBA draft gets underway next week. And the College World Series best-of-3 final begins on Monday. Damon, thanks for the time. We'll chat again next week.
I enjoyed it. I haven't been here. You know, I've been busy doing my head coaching duties.
Yeah, and little league stuff, too.
Yeah, little league stuff, and been listening to the debates, and think you and Langan are completely wrong on 95% of what you say, but it's still a good listen. So,
you know. At least you're listening.
I'm still listening. That's all that matters.
Hey, we want to thank all the folks that joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nick Cole of the Tennessean to talk a little bit Vanderbilt baseball. Also to Brian Munson of Big Red Report, talk Husker Big Red weekends that have wrapped up. And, of course, Mr. Stringfellow decided not to come to Nebraska and go to Ole Miss. Matt Shaner, PGA professional here at the Kearney Country Club with the Tasha Kiner Memorial Golf Tournament. It looks like everybody's going to have some fun today, and we hope you do as well. We will be back Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show to recap the weekend and get you ready for the finals of the College World Series. For our producer-engineer, Jeff Babel, and Damon Day, I'm Doug Duda saying enjoy your weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!